Here We Go. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John, engineering and producing the show. And together, a hearty welcome to the Buckmaster Show Tuesday. It's the 7th of June, 2022, in our 12th year with the Radio Project. And we are broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio at and on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk, our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, and our live line whenever we do our telephone interviews, like the one we will be doing in a few moments, is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Terry Bracey is our expert on Washington and governmental affairs. Terry Bracey, whose unique role in representing Tucson's interest began with a 10-year stint on the staff of the famed Congressman Morris K. Udall. Terry Bracey was then appointed to a sub-cabinet position by President Carter, subsequently served under four presidents of both parties. He's the founding partner of the respected public affairs firm Bracey Tucker Brown, which has worked on many of Tucson's successes in the nation's capital. And many of our listeners, I'm sure, are reading Terry's columns in the Arizona Daily Star. He's been doing quite a few op-ed pieces. He joins us now on the live line. Terry, how are you?
Bill, I'm just fine. Thank you. It's kind of, you know, a sad time, but you have to try to keep your head up and move forward. I don't know. It's tough. Yeah.
It is a tough time. And I mean, I've been in this business 55 years, and every time there is one of these shooting incidents, and unfortunately, what unfolded in Texas is not unique, even when it comes to killing young people. And we these things happen, and everybody says the same thing, Terry Bracey. We've got to do something. What is that something this time around?
Well, Bill, if history is a guide, whatever is passed, I mean, they seem to want to pass something. But if they do, I still believe it'll be at the margins. I mean, the lead Republican negotiator is Senator Cornyn of Texas, highly respected member of the Senate, and he's leading the Republicans. But for openers, he told the press, when asked if there were going to be new restrictive new gun laws, he said it ain't going to happen.
Hmm.
So that's not a good start. That means essentially that the Republicans, who solidly are backed by the gun lobby as part of their coalition, are looking for some PR gimmick to get them through the elections. Meanwhile, I was reading Forbes magazine, a conservative business magazine, and they pointed out in the U.S. we now have more than 20 million assault weapons, and for every 100 Americans, there are 120 guns.
Wow. So how does the National Rifle Association command so much power when large majorities of American voters want reasonable restrictions on gun sales and usage?
Well, it's minority control. It's really part of a larger problem, Bill. I just wrote a column in the Star about this. We're on a fast track to the destruction of our democracy. No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Think of how many key issues there are. Guns, assault weapons, trickle-down economics, Medicare financing, where the views of the majority of Americans are in favor of certain things, while a minority group of wealthy whites basically disagree, and they win. And the reason that they win is they have unlimited campaign contributions, there's gerrymandering of congressional districts, there's voter suppression, there's media bullying on the right. Today, we're seeing the results, actually, of a 50-year plan to empower the Republican Party and to bring it back to power.
Tell me a little bit more about what you're saying here about this plan, Terry.
Well, after the Goldwater debacle in 1964, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce hired a highly respected Virginia lawyer named Lewis Powell to devise a strategic plan that would guide the GOP back to power. Powell was later appointed to the Supreme Court by Richard Nixon, whom he disappointed many times with his liberal-leaning decisions. But that set that aside. What Powell did was he came up with a plan for Republicans to build think tanks in Washington. You now see the Heritage Foundation. So buying major media outlets, filling libraries with books on free enterprise, and many more things. And it took root over time and became very, very successful. But that's not all that was done.
So it's yielded results. And what about Richard Nixon? Did Nixon play any role in this, Terry Bracey?
Well, Nixon supported Powell's modernization of the party, but didn't believe that Powell's mostly technical plan would win a majority at the polls. And that's when Nixon came up with his infamous Southern strategy, a racist appeal to those who kind of felt forgotten and angry in the civil rights era. The core of the GOP has always been wealthy white men. And increasingly, America, our democracy has changed and has continued to change rapidly. And the Republicans can't construct a majority unless they get different constituencies on the side by playing at cultural issues, at racial issues, and things that are really very negative for our society. And when Donald Trump heard the angry din of revolution out there against party leaders because these constituencies finally got the picture they weren't getting anywhere, Donald Trump heard the angry din and became their trumpet.
Well, think about it. Look at the way the demographics in this country are changing so dramatically. In some ways, Terry Bracey, I was in South Africa. I visited South Africa in 1992 when that nation was so torn and was the white minority was holding on in any way they could to power. In many ways, there are similarities to what's going on in the United States.
Well, I don't know South African history all that well, but from what I've read about it, there are great similarities. And frankly, there are similarities looking to the despots of the past century and a half. When you look at Stalin, you look at Hitler, you look at things like that. Are we headed that direction? You have a whole party now that really admires autocracy, that thinks that democracy maybe have seen its day. And increasingly, those radicals who used to be just on the fringes of the Republican Party, have taken over. That's what happens. They take over. And Donald Trump could see this happening, whereas most of the establishment Republicans thought, well, we'll use them in elections and then they'll come along with the establishment. Well, that got old for them and they decided not to. And they found in Trump the leader they wanted. And now they have completely taken over the Republican Party, which is a great danger, not just to the Republican Party, but to the country.
So, Terry, before we wrap it up, what's the strategy then for Democrats? How do they respond to this?
Well, I think everybody thinks that, a lot of people think that, these elections are going to be fought out over this issue or that issue, inflation or guns or whatever. If I were running the Democratic campaign, I'm not. The larger issue is what we have here. our democracy? Are we going to save our democracy from these people on the fringes who are trying to destroy it? That's where the election fight should be. And if the Democrats are successful in getting it there, to getting that point to be the key point in the election, I think it'll be a big surprise. I think they'll throw a lot of Republicans out of office, frankly, instead of easily walking into majorities in both houses.
All right, we'll see what happens. Terry Bracey, always a pleasure. Thank you very much, Terry. Stay safe.
Thank you, Bill.
Mona's Danish Bakery is our favorite bakery. We love Mona's, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's is located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They are open right now. If you're up in that neck of the woods, I strongly suggest stopping by, have lunch. If you still have a yearning for breakfast and a pastry, they can accommodate you. I'm sure the pastry case still has some very tempting items in there. Right now, I would go with a piece of carrot cake. That's kind of what I've been thinking about. I did have a Mona's Danish, a cherry Danish for breakfast this morning, and it was a great way to start the day with some wonderful Kona coffee that we brought back from the island. So it's a great way to start the day, get things rolling. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is the website. We're going to get things rolling with Shelley Fishman, our financial contributor. Always like it when I see Shelley across from the table here. Give me two thumbs up. Can't wait to hear what's going on and hear Shelley's remarks as we continue in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority Board promised to fund projects from its 20-year regional transportation plan to the ballot amount. A recent state audit confirms the RTA is meeting its obligations. The RTA is now working with member jurisdictions to identify non-RTA funds to cover recent spikes in construction costs. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com to learn more about funding obligations.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And here he is, Shelley Fishman. Welcome back to the program, Shell. How are you?
I'm fine. It was great until I listened to Terry, and now I want to slit my wrists.
Well, it was kind of dark, yeah, but he made some interesting points about how the Republican Party, after, and those of us who are old enough to remember 1964, I was still in high school, but I certainly remember the beating that Barry Goldwater, Senator Goldwater from Arizona, took in the Republican, in the presidential election, and the Republicans regrouped.
Yes. The American people, I believe, can be trusted over the long haul to make the right decisions, both in general and on specifics. And so what, you know, my feeling and my expertise is in the economy and investing and how people feel about the economy and on investing, because people's feelings on those issues are sometimes more important, or certainly as important, as the statistics that people are confronted with on an almost daily basis. I believe that even here in 2022, the economy is not the issue that the Republicans think it's going to be, despite the fact that they have been just pounding the table on inflation, and the fact that you know, the Democratic administration has overstimulated the economy, and it's, you know, just more tax and spend, tax and spend, tax and spend. Nevertheless, I really believe that what we're going to see as this year goes by is that the economy continues to grow, that the growth is stronger than it had been during certainly the Obama and the first Trump administration, but not as strong as it had been in the year of recovery from the pandemic. So we're going to see about 3% growth in 2022. The World Bank just this morning came out and basically said the world's economy is growing slower than it had been growing, but look for about 2.5% growth. Bill, I'll settle for 2.5% growth any day. Once we've reached the point where we were before the pandemic set in, and we are there, we're there on GDP growth right now, but in terms of employment and in terms of some of the other factors that we measure every month in the economy, we've got another month or two to go before we pass the point where we were when the pandemic, you know, hit and the things just went to heck in a handbasket. But I am bullish on this economy. I believe we still have a situation where the biggest threat to the economy let me talk about the two biggest threats to this economy right now. The biggest threat is that we don't have enough people to fill the jobs that companies need to meet the demand for their products.
Amen.
That's out there.
Amen.
We need to be doing something to fill those jobs, and whether it's a guest worker program or a national service program.
Well, the labor shortage is a huge deal, continues to be.
Absolutely. And unless we can help companies fill the 5 million jobs that are today going unfilled, companies will not be able to meet the demand. When companies can't meet the demand, in other words, when the supply side is not working, even though there's a bunch of demand in the economy and a bunch of cash, then you get inflation. That's the definition of inflation, because the supply for goods and services is not sufficient to meet the demand, and companies raise prices. So that's one thing. The other thing, and Terry just kind of talked around it a little bit, is the issue of income disparity, which you and I have been talking about for 10 years.
Yes, we have.
As one of the most basic problems we have in this economy, has actually been made worse because of this pandemic. People who were either in retirement and got there in a successful way, or had good jobs and good educations, those people did just fine as we started coming out of the pandemic. People, the stimulus really worked for them. People had gobs of cash, and their investments over the past 2 years, even though the past couple of months have been dicey. But people have seen last year, they saw their investments in stocks go up an average of about 20%. We will end this year with a stock increase, I believe, around 6%. People who have been in this for the long pull are just fine.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is we have a whole bunch of people who have always been, for one reason or another, at the bottom of the economic earnings lists, and have not benefited over the past 40 years from the growth in the economy. And these people feel embittered and disenfranchised, and they're angry as heck, mm-hmm. and they want somebody to do something about it. If we don't fix this income disparity problem, we will in fact go down the road that Terry was talking about and lose our democracy, because people like Trump will promise the world, deliver nothing, but promise the world. And you know, when I'm you know, scraping together food for my kids, and somebody promises me a better tomorrow, mm-hmm. I'm there.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have given us an optimistic report, though, Shelley, so far about, you say stocks are going to end the year looking pretty good. And it gets back to, what was it that, there was a column in the Washington Post, the headline was, where do we go from here,
yeah.
inflation or recession?
Yeah.
Do we have to have both?
So here's the deal. That is a false dichotomy. It is a false choice. And there are ways that both the Fed and the government and business can engineer a soft landing for this economy that makes inflation less of an issue and makes recession less of a problem going forward. Now, can I guarantee you that the Fed will get it right and that businesses will get it right? No, of course not. But what we're hearing from people who want to portray bad news, because bad news gets people, again, angry and anxious, is that the only way to control inflation is by creating a recession. Now, you know, that's what Paul Volcker did in the beginning of the Reagan administration, because we had very high inflation. We were unable to get it under control. We've seen that offered in classical economic theory as the way you conquer inflationary pressures is by slowing the economy down as much as you have to in order to kill the inflation. The problem is you have a problem with inflation because people have to spend more money to get the goods they need. But recession gives you unemployment. It gives you big time unemployment. And, you know, it's one thing you have to spend more money on gas, but if you're unemployed, you can't spend any money on gas. So what has happened over the past probably 30 years is we've seen economists getting away from that old either inflation or recession, and those are the only two choices, and finding ways to get there more slowly, with more control, and with less damage done to the people who can least afford damage. And that, I think, is where the people who are managing our economy right now are headed. I hope they get it right. There's no guarantees that they will, but when people tell you we've got to have a recession because that's the only way to kill inflation, mm-hmm. you know, tell them they're full of whatever, mm-hmm. fill in the blank.
Family show, thank you for yes. not filling in the blank with something that we would not want to hear. Anyway, it almost becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. When you keep talking about we've got inflation, it's going to lead to a recession. You hear it day and night.
And the economy is not a pat science. It is subject to the moods and vagaries of how people feel. Inflation is a self-fulfilling prophecy. We have to stop talking about it as if there's no way to you know get around it besides slowing the economy down to stop.
And you want to solve the supply chain issues? Get enough people that can be hired. The labor force, you've got such a shortage. Everybody's got the help wanted sign out. We've got to do something about it.
We've got a shortage of, we've got an excess of 5 million jobs and almost 10 million people who are either mobile or are unemployed. And what we need is to be able to get those people educated, get them ready for the jobs of the future. But we have an immediate problem now. And I think the only way to do that is with a guest worker program.
All right, Shelley, thank you very much. Have a great rest of the week, okay?
You too, Bill.
All right.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade. Using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Love green things. Great time of year to plant some beautiful things in your garden because hopefully, fingers crossed, 2, maybe 3 weeks. Maybe I'm being a little optimistic about 2 weeks. However, it gets so hot here that might kind of inspire, I don't know how it all works, but might trigger some thunderstorms. If it get a, you know, get that 110, 111, maybe things will start to be a little more moist around here in a couple of weeks. Hope so. But point is, Green Things at 3384 East River Road is your go-to garden center. Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. The website's Green Things AZ, their sister business on site is Zocalo Village, where you'll find outstanding Talavera pottery and beautiful things, not only for the garden, but for your home. Let's welcome now Anthony Jamino, a sports journalist who's been in this town covering UA athletics for about 30 years now. Covered football for the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson Citizen. He's the senior editor for Lindy's Football Annuals. He's the co-founder of what has turned out to be a very successful local blog called AllSportsTucson.com. Anthony, how are you?
Hey, good, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
You know, I've wanted to have you on now for a month or so because when we had President Robbins was on and Dave Hickey, his athletic director, the UA athletic director, has pretty much been saying the same thing. And President Robbins said on this show, Anthony, that this current brouhaha over what is known as name, image, and likeness, it's, I guess it known as NIL, and its impact on sports, college sports in this country. President Robbins said, if we keep going down this path, he called it unsustainable. This is a huge shakeup, isn't it?
It really depends on your point of view here. It's probably hard to put back in the bottle. It's the future of college athletics. Some people will say it will be the ruin of college athletics. For sure, right now, college athletics is as popular as ever. So in the short time this NIL has been in existence, and even before that, a lot of the loosening of the transfer rules, it hasn't ruined college athletics yet. And but if we talk about the intent was good. The intent was for the student athlete to make money off of their name, image, and likeness, and which we think is a good thing. What that has morphed into, as opposed to, hey, the student athlete gets on campus, does some great things, and then gets either some, you know, gets some endorsement deals, is able to charge for autographs, et cetera. Now it's turned into a recruiting tool, which it really shouldn't be. It's, hey, come to our school and you'll get this millions of dollars in NIL endorsement money. Well, that's really not how it was supposed to work. And that's why there's a bunch of coaches feuding with each other. But let's be clear that, like, this isn't necessarily, like, new money floating around college athletics. It's just that it's all above board and legal. let's not be naive about this. Money has been floating around college athletics and illegal money for recruiting and the little side deals for student athletes, et cetera. That's been going on for a long time. It's just that it's all out in the open right now.
So the shakeup on this is this is really a work in progress, isn't it?
I think so. What it also points out is that the NCAA really is toothless. It doesn't really have any power. For a lot of years, what we saw was the NCAA blocked student athletes from making any kind of money outside of, you know, books, room, tuition, that kind of thing, which in a lot of cases can be quite substantial. Nothing wrong with that. But the NCAA blocked that. And then a few years ago, you might recall the states, individual states started passing their own NIL laws. Well, at that point, the NCAA recognizing that that's really going to create an unbalanced playing field. What if Oklahoma has certain laws which allows businesses and allows student athletes to earn this money while California doesn't? Well, that's going to be a great inequity. So basically the NCAA at that point said, you know what? We really don't have any legal standing. We don't have any legal authority. We can't regulate this. We're going to, across the board, loosen up their own rules on NIL, which opened the floodgates, as we see right now. Where this ends up, I'm not sure. There's not a lot of guardrails right now. Maybe there will be down the road, but we're still really new into this whole process. We're not even, you know, if the NIL was a human, we're still kind of in the toddler phase.
Hey, I want to talk about Lindy's football annuals, the football magazines. When are they due out? This month, right?
The national edition has been out for a couple weeks already.
Really?
And we also do, which will be of much less interest to Arizona fans, mm-hmm. an SEC regional edition and a Big Ten regional edition. But the national edition, which has the Arizona preview and the Pac-12 preview and all the national rankings and bells and whistles, that's been, I want to say, probably 2 weeks today. It's been out on newsstands. I've seen some people share and post on social media and such, so I know it's out there.
What about Arizona for this football season?
In terms of how Lindy's ranked them?
Yes.
You know what? Lindy's did not rank them last in the Pac-12 South, so fifth. Off the top of my head, I can't remember where. One of the things I have to do every year is rank every team, mm-hmm. and now there's 131 teams in the Football Bowl subdivision.
Goodness.
I can't remember where
That's
I
all right.
ended up. Arizona landed probably somewhere around high 70s. Which isn't bad, considering they were a one-win team last year. So there's optimism. I mean, there's definitely optimism. I think and I'm sure we did, you and I talked probably along this same time last summer. And at that time, I was saying the win-loss record of last year didn't matter. What mattered was if Jed Fish – through while they were going through this losing, it was easy to win the off season. It's harder to keep your team together, to keep them all bought into what you're selling when you're going through a losing season. And we knew the season was going to be bad. And it was. But he kept the team together. They weren't great. They pretty much more often than not continued to play hard. And what Jed Fish then did in this most recent offseason in terms of recruiting, he put together a recruiting class that is really shouldn't happen. You know, that's a top 25 recruiting class when you just went 1-11 and your program hasn't really been good for two decades.
Yeah.
That is, trust me, that got plenty of national people checking out what Jed Fish is doing here. And he can do that. He's selling hope. He's selling family atmosphere. He's certainly selling playing time because he can tell recruits, hey, have you seen the film of us playing? You're probably better than this guy's out there. You can come in and play right away. That's an important aspect too. So all those things together, you can do that for a couple years. Now this year, you got to start stepping up the wins. Not a lot. I don't think they're, you know, we're not saying they're a bowl team or anything, but against a tough schedule, if they win three or four, continue to kind of play hard, show some progress, I think they're going to be able to put something together then for the, you know, 2023 and beyond.
All right. Sounds good, Anthony Jimeno, All Sports Tucson. How is the website doing? It sounds like very well.
They're great. I mean, it's right these days, it's Javier and Andy Morales. who really drive the content of mm-hmm. that site, and they are just out in the community every night covering somebody's kids.
Yep.
And that is so valuable to the community. They have my total respect because they never sleep.
Anthony, thank you very much. Have a great day. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Bill.
All right. That's going to wrap up our interview with Anthony Jimeno, talking a little sports and about the future of this whole thing about the NIL, about the likeness and paying players for their name and the image, the whole thing. That's still an unfolding story. We've got Margaret Regan from The Weekly coming up next. Let's talk arts right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Kate Delaney. Tune in later tonight as we talk about everything that happened throughout your day. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by our friends in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Take a drive. It's about 3 hours and you will cool off. We usually say it's at least 10 degrees cooler in June and July and August than it will be in Tucson because we've got that great mile high elevation, and it's a great place to get away, do some hiking, just hang out. The website, southwestnewmexico.org, to find out what to do and where to stay in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now for her monthly visit, talking about the arts on the Buckmaster Show. Longtime Tucson Weekly arts writer Margaret Regan, author of two prize-winning books on immigration. Margaret, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. Bill. How are you doing?
Doing well. Today's a big day in the art world. That long-lost Willem de Kooning painting from the University of Arizona Art Museum is going on view today for the first time since the big theft many years ago. But guess what, Margaret, as you write in the weekly, it's not happening in Tucson. It's over at the Getty.
But how did that happen, Jim?
How in the world did it?
Yeah, well, it all makes very good sense. This very damaged painting of women ochre is at the Getty Center today and has been there for a couple of years now. And that's in Los Angeles. It's one of the best places in the world to fix a damaged paint. And the people at the Getty did this all on their own. We didn't have to pay a single cent to them. They have been working for several years to fix this beautiful painting. And as a result, since they did that for us, they decided, or everybody agreed, that the Getty should have it first to show the general public. So today is the big day in the Getty. If you were there, Bill, you could go and see the painting all fixed up. But, don't worry that they're stealing our painting. Absolutely not. It's coming back this summer in August. At the end of August, they're going to end their show, and then it will come back to Tucson.
And, of course, this very famous painting by de Kooning was more than 30 years ago that it was cut from its frame, ripped from its backing, rolled up, and stolen from the University of Arizona Museum of Art, the UAMA.
Right, yeah. I mean, what a story, right?
Yeah.
And how it was in 2017 that we got it back.
Mm-hmm.
You'll remember the story that some nice men in Silver City, a place that you really like going to.
Yes.
They bought it from a house. An elderly couple had died, and I think it was the nephew was trying to get rid of the stuff, and not rid of, but the people had a lot of art, and he sold them to a little store in Silver City, and they put up the painting in the Silver City in their antique store. And people started coming into the room and saying, "Wait a minute, that's the Kooning. And they're like, "What?" Everybody knew about that. It had been 30 years since it was stolen. And those guys were so great. I was able to meet one of them when I was writing the story about it some years ago. And the guy looked it up, and he saw the pictures all over, on the Internet. And he called the U of A right away to say, "I think I have your painting."
Yeah.
Really good, people who do the right thing. And so people from the University of Arizona, the Museum of Art, traveled to Silver City and determined that, yes, indeed, this was this was their painting. And it came back with, I believe they had police cars around them getting all the way back from there to here. And, they looked at it for a while here at the U of A, and they decided it really was the right painting. It wasn't a fake. And then the Getty stepped in and volunteered to do this wonderful thing for us. So that's really just such a nice end to the story. But what's really exciting for people here in Tucson is that, let's see, the day it's going to open up for us is October the 8th. That is going to be the big opening at the U of A, and I'm sure lots and lots of people are going to go there. And they're going to have a whole show that teaches us how you fix paintings. The people at the Getty said this painting was very badly, badly damaged.
Wow.
What they did to it, pulled out little pieces of it, and it's really bad. But so now, we've got one of the best places in the world fixing it for us, so we'll get to see it then.
Yeah.
And I talked to Chris Ware yesterday from the university, and she flew out yesterday to be part of the celebration in Los Angeles. But she said it's going to be great when it comes back here. There's a movie. Somebody has already written a documentary about it. They're going to have that. They're going to have lots of guest speakers. And, you know, you can see it all the way through. I think they said in May that show is going to last all that time for everybody to see. And then it's going to go back to the place it was many years ago on the wall on the second floor.
Yeah, it's an incredible story. And that was one of de Kooning's more famous pieces, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, he did a whole series of these paintings of women. They're very controversial because some people think that they're really sexist. You know, the women are looking really pretty evil. But it's been discussed, you know, for a long time. But it's a really important painting, and here we have it. Our students can see them now, and, you know, and all the Tucson people can see it. So it's just a wonderful story.
That was done in mid-50s, 54, 1955. Real famous painting, and will become a centerpiece once again for the University of Arizona Museum of Art. Margaret, I've only got a couple of minutes, and I know you wanted to mention a play that is going to, I believe, preview tonight, June 7th, and then we'll open Friday night and runs through Saturday, June 25th. This is at Borderlands Theater.
Yeah. No, this was the one from American...
This was American Sun. Sorry.
Yeah, I have another one, too, but maybe we don't have time for that.
No.
Yeah, the Arizona Theater Company.
Arizona Theater Company. Okay.
Yeah. And so this is a big day, so it's opening there today. It's the previews. It seems like an interesting play, and they don't usually do things in the summer, so
no.
That's interest. It's a story about an immigrant with a hard-working father who built up his own company, and he now has a very spoiled son who didn't have to work as hard as his father did, and then there's some big disaster that the son has to step up finally. So it's that. They say it's a very good play by a really interesting author. No, what's his name? Christopher Oscar Pena. And it's a nice, different thing for the U of A. What am I still talking about, the U of A?
No, for the Arizona Theater Company. And as you say, it is unusual for them to do anything in June. So I'm not quite sure how all that came about for this presentation of the play called American Sun.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, everything has changed. You know, COVID, right? I mean, that has changed everything. So it's great that, you know, that they have another play this semester.
Okay. We will look for your work in the Tucson Weekly. Thank you, Margaret. And good that we could talk about the de Kooning, because today is kind of the big day, the big showing over at the Getty in Los Angeles. Thanks, Margaret.
Okay, thanks, Bill.
Margaret Regan with the Tucson Weekly. Margaret has been with the Weekly since, I believe, 1991, writing about the arts, and she is the author of two books on immigration that have done very well, Detained and Deported, Stories of Immigrant Families Under Fire, and then the book called The Death of Jocelyn, Immigration Stories from the Arizona-Mexico Borderlands. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. We've got Dave Ramsey, his very popular show, talking about money. Tomorrow on the program, Will Humble will be with us. Lots to catch up on what's going on with COVID. Some say this is kind of the worst of the COVID, actually, because so many, maybe 5, maybe 10 times the cases not being reported because everybody's got a home testing kit and they're not reporting the results. So we've got ourselves a little surge, not a little surge, a big surge of COVID. Anyway, Will Humble tomorrow on the program. On behalf of John, engineering and producing the show, Bill Buckmaster saying, thanks for listening.